connecting to the AOC Podcast Network. Enjoy your stay.
This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people, places, and culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana and the region we call Acadiana. We focus on the warm joie de vivre, or joy of living, and the cultural traditions passed down generation after generation, as well as the creative spirit of Lafayette. Lafayette enjoys a collective wildcatter mentality that fosters a business environment of success, and it's open for all people who are willing to jump in. The wildcatter oil and gas industry has been the bedrock of Lafayette's economic growth. Home of the Oil Center, developed back in the 1950s by Maurice Hyman, Lafayette's business development has been tied to these fortunes of the oil and gas sector. I'm really proud to have as today's guest Angela Kring, who is executive director of LAGCO, which originally stood for Louisiana Gulf Coast Oil Exposition. It's one of the world's pioneer oil and gas expositions, fueling global energy solutions for 62 years since 1955. One of the largest oil and gas industry expositions in the U.S., LAGCO is held biennially in the very heart of America's energy corridor, right here in Lafayette, Louisiana. Angela, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I mean, I think LAGCO is right around the corner. We're here in late September 2017, and I know in less than a month you'll be hosting the current LAGCO.
Yes, this year's show is October 24th through the 26th.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me about it, if you would, please. Or first, let me jump in. Let's talk about how you ended up at LAGCO and you know, your background, if you don't mind telling us about your schooling and how you ended up here.
Sure. I graduated from Millsaps College in Jackson, Mississippi, with a Bachelor of Science degree in Environmental Geology and Political Science.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Then I got a Master's degree in Geology from Ole Miss. So LAGCO is actually, I guess, technically my third career. My first career was as a hydrologist specializing in wetland and coastal restoration with the federal government agencies. A second career was as more of a geophysicist doing survey work offshore in the private sector. And then I stumbled into LAGCO, starting off as a volunteer and helping out in the office part-time when I wasn't busy consulting as a geologist. And years later, here I am.
You're the perfect fit. I didn't realize your background in geology.
Yeah.
So you really are the perfect fit for this industry position. You know, a lot of us, I've worked in the nonprofit sector, many of us haven't been trained in the sector, you know, that we're helping as a nonprofit director. So that's interesting. So what year did you join LAGCO? You've been there several years, right?
I've been there full time since 2009. Mm-hmm. My volunteer and part-time service started way back in 2005. But in April of 2009, I started full time. And then in January of 2012, mm-hmm. I became the executive director.
When I was looking up LAGCO's history, Angela, I was telling you this before we started interviewing. It's fascinating because it's the history of Lafayette. When you look up LAGCO, LAGCOE, and you go to the About tab and look at the history, it really not only talks about the history of the oil and gas sector, but you can see how Lafayette's grown and how our fortunes have been tied to the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, absolutely. The industry has evolved so much over the past 62 years, mm-hmm. and Lafayette and Acadiana as a community have grown so much as well.
What is the main purpose of the exposition that you put on? I mean, is there any one main theme as you meet every other year? I know it's a very large exposition at the convention center here in Lafayette, but what do you really focus on during the exposition?
The main purpose of the exposition is promotion of commerce. So to get the companies in a place where they can display their products and services mm-hmm. to potential buyers and make sales, make deals. And then secondary to that, but still incredibly important, is showcasing the technology of the industry. You know, from 1955 until today, the technology mm-hmm. within our industry has grown exponentially and continues to become more efficient, more digital. You know, you see a lot more computer technology in the industry than you did decades ago. Mm-hmm. So we try to showcase those people and products within the industry who are innovative and working to be as efficient and forward-thinking right. as possible.
Right. As I looked at the history, I was really, not that it's humorous, but you can see how it's evolved to be more technically driven. Because the early days, I know that they had the Queen of LACCO and they had parades, and it looked like a real celebration of the success of the oil and gas industry, which was so important to promote, you know, what Lafayette and our region had, the Gulf Coast region. Do you still do all that? Do they still have, I know there are luncheons and all, but is it still a social network, or is it more focused on the business side of it, as you mentioned?
It is more focused on the business side. I think there is still a social aspect. Mm-hmm. It's just evolved into a much more modern, professional
right.
atmosphere. You know, back in the day, there were parties and variety shows and parades,
mm-hmm.
and they used to land airplanes on Johnston Street. So there was...
I didn't see that in the history. I love
yes,
that.
Wow. Yes, there were... When the show was at Blackham Coliseum, they mm-hmm. used to land planes on Johnston Street and then display them at the show. So it was quite interesting, you know, to go back and look at that history and see how much it's evolved. There's still a big social aspect now, mm-hmm. but it's more the networking amongst all of our hundreds of volunteers who help to put on the show.
Yeah, from what I saw, this predates you, but the show started in 1955, and it was in 1980 that LACCO actually hired professional staff. And so it sounds like it really was industry driven for the early days. And when I was looking also, you always have to go back to Maurice Hyman starting the Oil Center, which is located, for those that don't live here in Lafayette, by our UL Lafayette campus. And that was a mecca for the oil and gas industry. So people would, I guess a lot of the businesses were clustered in that area that used to be a nursery. But when we were introducing you, I've said that LACCO used to stand for Louisiana Gulf Coast Oil Exposition because it really was focused on this region, which is in Louisiana. I think back in the day, 60 of the 64 parishes had producing oil and gas wells. But now it's really grown beyond that, hasn't it? You attract a much larger clientele and participant than just the Gulf Coast region.
Right. And actually, the very first show, before it was even called LACCO, they called it the Lafayette Oil Show.
Oh, okay. In 1955?
In 1953, actually.
Oh, I see.
Was the very first time they put something together. And then in 55 is when it morphed into and became LACCO.
Uh-huh.
So it even grew between 53 and 55 from just Lafayette to the state mm-hmm. of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've absolutely grown well beyond that, and it is considered a pretty international show. We have 20 to 30 some odd countries represented typically at each show in the past decade. And as the industry in general has grown with the fracking technology mm-hmm. that has, you know, emerged over recent years, there's production in many more states in the U.S.
Right.
and all across the globe. So as the technology to be able to produce the oil and gas mm-hmm. has expanded and grown. The geographic locations of where the industry footprint is
right.
has grown. So we've tried to grow right along with it. Mm-hmm.
I've been to LAGCO a few times, and it's always amazing to me how big it is. Just the bigger than life, the exhibits and all. How does this work? Is this open to the public, or is it an industry-specific event where you purchase tickets to get in, or you participate by supporting it? How does it work?
It is open to industry personnel only, mm-hmm. But it is free to attend for industry personnel. So we do encourage people who are related to the industry, like legal, insurance, banking, all those types of services, to participate as a sponsor, mm-hmm. and then they are able to come in. It used to be years ago, we did have a period that was open to the general public. We have since morphed that into our career portion. So if you're wanting to come in and see and find out more about mm-hmm. the industry, you have to follow our career track. That takes place on Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
Yeah, that's for people who are looking to get into the industry. Mm-hmm. And then we do also have a student program now. You know, LAGCO is not open to anyone under the age of 18, except for our student program, which is called the Future Energy Professionals Program. So we take high school juniors and seniors who apply and are accepted, and they come and are given a specialized tour of the show with a young professional of LAGCO and a UL or LSU engineering student. So they get kind of a special access to the show. And then once they complete that program, they are eligible to apply for up to a $10,000 college scholarship.
Oh, wow. I saw that you had an education fund set up. That's what that's
yes.
for.
Yes.
Well, tell me about that. Is this how LAGCO continues the monies that are generated by the biennial show? You meet every other year. So you work, I'm sure, as this one ends in October of 2017, you'll be immediately assessing how it went and then looking ahead to 2019. Is this the main focus of you and your staff to make sure that the shows go well, or are you busy, you know, throughout the 2 years with programming?
We are busy now throughout the 2 years. People ask quite frequently, well, why don't you just have a show every year?
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a lot of work.
It takes 2 years by the time you evaluate what you just did and kind of gear up for the next one mm-hmm. and then execute everything. It really takes 2 years to put it on, especially because we have a small staff, and we rely very heavily on our industry volunteers. Mm-hmm. So that takes a lot of time and effort, and
right.
you know, we can only ask so much of our great volunteers.
Mm-hmm. So the funding to keep LAGCO going comes from the exposition
yes.
itself.
The exposition mm-hmm. is our main fundraiser, mm-hmm. and we do take portions of that money and put it into our education fund. That's how it got started. Since it started, we do have a couple of fundraisers that we add to uh-huh. that education fund so we can continue to provide scholarships right. for students.
And when I looked on your website, I saw that you have local support from people such as, I guess it was Lita and LCVC and others for the exposition. So I know there's a lot of community support that goes into ensuring that LAGCO is successful.
Yeah, it really is a community event. Mm-hmm. It takes a village,
right.
literally, to put on an event of such size and magnitude within a city the size of Lafayette. You know, we're not a typical huge convention city. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of planning and cooperation from all the different agencies in town to make it happen.
I didn't think about that. So people are all over town, I guess, in the hotels. They're scattered throughout Lafayette Parish and beyond, maybe.
Yeah, we actually this time have 20 partner hotels, and we do shuttle service from the hotels to the showgrounds, partly to make it more convenient for our exhibitors and attendees, and then partly too to help Lafayette in terms of traffic, so that that week of LAGCO, we are not doubling the traffic around town.
Because the Cajun Dome and Convention Center are just smack dab in the middle of town. So that could cause, I didn't think about that, causing it's like a Mardi Gras presentation. Yeah. What is the focus of this year's LAGCO? Do you have a central theme that you'll be focusing on?
The theme of this year's show is energy moving forward. So there has been a big focus on, you know, looking ahead because of the recent downturn in the industry. You know, everyone, whether you're a producer or a service company, no matter what your role in the industry is, everyone is looking to do things more cost effective, more efficiently, and that takes innovation and new ideas. And so really focusing on what that looks like moving forward for the industry.
Do you have any well-known speakers or topics of interest that you can mention? That
we have three keynote addresses, one on each day of the show. The first day will be director of BESI, Scott Angel, along with Ryan Malone, who's the managing director for BP of the Gulf of Mexico. So they'll be speaking on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have Randall Luthy, who is the head of NOIA, which is the National Ocean Industries Association out of Washington, D.C. So he'll be talking about the D.C. perspective on the energy industry, which I'm even interested to, to hear what he has to say about that, because there's been, you know, in the past year, such a shift politically in Washington with
it's more business friendly for the oil and gas industry.
And then Thursday, we have a panel of CEOs for the LNG companies.
Okay.
That are doing business.
Liquefied natural gas.
Yes. In Louisiana. So we're that's another one we're excited about, because, you know, as that has really grown and taken a foothold within our state, people are always interested to hear what does that mean for our state? What does it mean for the energy industry in general? And what can companies and businesses look forward to? And how can they work with those companies to be suppliers now or in the future?
You know, I was speaking with someone yesterday, just talking about Lake Charles and all the LNG, liquefied natural gas activity going on and the plants being developed. And I think there's more cranes in Lake Charles, Louisiana, than anywhere else in the country, like a concentrated number of cranes because of the development. And they were saying you can see it as you fly over in a helicopter. And so while we've been experiencing the detrimental effects of a downturn, at the same time, our neighbors have been experiencing incredible growth in a new sector, a new and emerging sector of oil and gas. So it sounds like your timing is perfect.
The landscape of the energy industry in general, you know, within our state has shifted rather significantly over the past few years. So that's definitely a sector we want to focus on now and in the future.
And learn from. Right. Let's talk about LAGCO Louis. I know that you have a stellar LAGCO Louis this year, if you would talk about that. It's someone that's honored every 2 years by your industry.
Yeah. So since 1955, LAGCO for each exposition selects one LAGCO Louis, and that is our show honoree. It's someone, you know, from this area who has made significant contributions both to the industry and to our community in general. So this year's LAGCO Louis is Don Briggs, president and founder of LOGA, who, you know, Don as an individual and LOGA as an organization have done so much for the industry within our state. So it's been a pleasure to honor him in that way.
Right. Don has had an incredible recovery from an injury. And personally, I can't tell you how much I think the world of Don Briggs. He's been so generous to our community and so supportive. I had the privilege of working with him in the past with the Chamber of Commerce and other groups. And I just was so thrilled to see that he was being honored this year. And he started the Louisiana Oil and Gas Association back maybe almost 30 years ago. I don't know the exact date, but in the 80s.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
During that downturn, when which we survived from the 80s, and he's given so much back. So it's going to be nice to see him being honored. There's been some other well-known LAGCO Louis too, which Louis, I guess, is spelled L-O-O-E-Y.
Yes.
And it's like the everyday man in the oil and gas industry. But you've had some very well-known local leaders, such as Bo Ramsey. I mean, I know I'll leave somebody out, but just the past few years, Paul Hilliard. There are so many that have given so much to our community that you've honored.
Yeah. And each time we go about the task, and it's the LAGCO chairman's selection to pick the LAGCO Louis. Fortunately, I've been, part of some of mm-hmm. those conversations over the years, and it's always hard because there are so many great people mm-hmm. who have come from the industry who have done great things within our community. So it's always hard to narrow it down to mm-hmm. to just one.
Right. So who is the chair of LAGCO this year?
Our chairman is Kenny Crouch. He's the owner of Pressure Control Specialties.
Well, he's been a busy man, I'm sure, helping you get ready for this.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've got a collective group, a board of directors from the industry, Angela, that help guide you as you move forward.
Yes, we do. We have 19 people who serve on our board, a mix of people within the industry from smaller companies to larger companies, service companies, and operators. Mm-hmm. And a few of our board members are actually in the Houston area.
Okay. Okay. If people want to find out more about LAGCO, not only what you do today, but your history, where would you send them to find out more information?
There's a lot of information on our website, LAGCO.com, LAGCOE.com. Mm-hmm. And that's the main site for the organization. And if you put a /expo behind that, that'll get you to the site that is specifically for LAGCO 2017 coming up later this month.
Right, right. Have we covered what you'd like to say? Did I ask you the questions you needed, or is there any information you'd like to share in particular about this year's LAGCO Exposition?
Just that, as the industry has changed and evolved, and the economy has mm-hmm. changed, some things for the better, some for the worse. Especially in difficult times for the industry, I think LAGCO becomes even more important to the community of South Louisiana in general, because we really do work year round to keep a global spotlight on this area. Mm-hmm. South Louisiana is the birthplace of technology for our industry. Mm-hmm. So many entrepreneurs, so many patents from this area that are now being used around the world. So to keep reminding people of that is important, mm-hmm. Because you get outside of the southern U.S. and especially internationally, when people think of the industry in the U.S., the first thing that comes to their mind is Houston.
Right, Texas.
And Houston certainly has its mm-hmm. has its, foothold and place in the industry, especially in terms of, corporate headquarters and things. But when it comes to the innovation and the technology and the guys in their garage trying to figure out how can I make this tool better, mm-hmm. that all happens right here in South Louisiana.
That's so exciting. I know when I was looking at the history, just reading about when oil was first discovered in Jennings, just 35 miles from here west, and in 1901, and the excitement when people saw the first oil gushing out of the ground. And we all know people, Angela, either know them personally or stories of local people that have been innovative and come up with tools or techniques to make oil and gas extraction easier, more cost efficient. And it's a real story to be proud of. And we've been tied to the oil and gas industry, even though we've diversified and gotten into tech and hospital, healthcare here in Lafayette. I think oil and gas has been our bedrock, and we owe a lot to the industry. So thank you for all you do, Angela Kring, and thank you and LACO and your staff. I want to thank you for taking time to be here with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I'd also like to thank our listeners. I'm Jan Swift with Discover Lafayette. We've been filming this at AOC Community Media. I'd like to thank William McFarlane, our producer. And I'd like to encourage all of you that are listening to please check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you would go on and leave us a review, it helps to get the show known and to spread it. Our focus is to talk about all the good things going on in Lafayette and South Louisiana. Thank you for joining us. This is Jan Swift with Discover Lafayette.
The views and opinions expressed on this or any program on the AOC Podcast Network do not reflect the views and opinions of Lafayette Consolidated Government, Cox Communications, LUS Fiber, AOC Community Media, its board of directors, or its staff. To learn more about becoming a community media producer, visit us on the web at aocinc.org.